looks like we're missing a few. I don't remember who all it is, but this looks like it. Same title this morning, God's Ideal Woman. This is going to be part 8. Y'all remember what we talked about Wednesday, right? King Ahab and Jezebel. You know, and you can see how each one of those, neither one of them was right. I mean, Ahab, you know, he's crying, whining around and all that. Do you understand that a lot of times people use that kind of like a form of manipulation to get people to do what they want, you know? And a lot of times they want you to say, what's wrong with you? I've been around people like that before and been going to ask them, and like in here, just like, don't ask them. Yeah. And then you got Jezebel on the other hand. She's a straight-up killer, boy. Oh, man. So anyway, we're not on that today, but we are still on God's Ideal Woman. I got just one paper here today, and that is, hang on. All right, if you got your Bible, let's look at Ephesians chapter 22. We've been looking for God's ideal woman, and we found her. Different parts of her, right? Just like over there in 1 Peter chapter 3. But this here, in Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to start reading in verse 22. And this is the Amplified, so Beth will put it on the screen. It says, wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands. Notice it says, as a service to the Lord. When the Lord began to speak to me about this, he began to show me I serve God through Scotty. Not that I don't have a personal relationship, I do. And a lot of times, if I'll just do what God tells me to do personally, then my husband won't have a problem and he won't have to tell me. But how many knows, if I don't get it through just my relationship with God, he's supposed to help me get it, right? A lot of women, they don't like that. They're very independent. A lot of people don't like stuff like that because they're like, kind of like, I have God. You know, I serve God in my living room. I don't need a church. That's not what the Bible says. And we're going to look at some things today. So he says here, we do this, we adapt our vision to them, we submit to them as a service to the Lord. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. Now, every place it says church, it ain't talking about an individual person, right? You look up the word church, it says an assembly. When it says body, you can be an individual, corporately together. He says, as the church is subject to Christ, she's supposed to be, right? Whatever Christ says, the church does. So let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. He says this is the pattern. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church. You could say the husband present the wife, right? This Ephesians chapter 5 here that we're reading, this is your plumb line. This is what the way God showed it to me. He said, this is the example. You can run everything through and check it out so you don't get messed up. Because how many knows there's some wives that submit to their husbands and their husbands are not right, they're dominating, all this stuff, you know, or wives that don't. If you ask yourself the question, kind of like, well, as a wife to my husband, and he wants me to do something or tells me to do something, this is my plumb line, and I say, what does Christ and the church do? The church submits to him, whatever he says, right? And he loves his church so much so that he died for her. So it's the same thing. It's our pattern. It says that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such things, that she might be holy and faultless. Even so, husbands should love their wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it, as does the church, as Christ does the church. So does the husband to the wife, right? Because we are members, parts of his body, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church. However, let each man of you without exception love his wife as being in a sense his very own self. And let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates, and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Now, let's look at Proverbs 31. We started this these messages off with Proverbs 31. Y'all remember? But we're not going to read that whole thing there. There's just a part that we're going to read this morning of it. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, this is Amplified. It says, "A capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman, who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies or pearls." So this verse alone tells me that woman, she's hard to find. She ain't everywhere. But just like in the natural, there's things, there's pearls and different things that are more diamonds, that are more costly than others. Why? Because they're rare. So this tells me, guys, you got to be looking for this kind of woman. She's not going to be at the club. Y'all better hear me. It is the strangest thing to me that you have men or women that they'll go to the club looking for a wife or husband. First thing when they do, when they hook up, decide to move in or marry or whatever they do, they want you to stop drinking. Hello, let your elevator go to the top. They was there drinking. And now you think you're going to bring them over here and you're going to change them and they just going to stop for you? No, number one, you found them in the wrong place. This woman or a godly man, they're not going to be in the club. They're not going to be at the Red Barn up there. Y'all not saying nothing. Why? They're not. You might find them at the grocery store. You might find them in the Christian bookstore. You might find them at church. You might find them at Walmart. But you won't find them at the club. You're not going to find them at the drug dealer's house. You're not going to find them hanging out over at your neighbor's house all the time, day and night. Y'all know what I'm saying? Right? Why? She's rare. But she says she is very precious. Now, let's look at I looked up that word virtuous there where it says a capable, intelligent, virtuous woman. The word virtuous in the New Webster's Dictionary says marked by virtue, morally good, pure or chaste. The word chaste in the New Webster's Dictionary means free from impure desires, undefiled, pure in taste and style. A lot of times it's hard to find a woman nowadays that's just morally good. See, back years ago, it wasn't the women that was really immoral. It was a lot of the guys. Just like today, they say there's almost the same amount of women that are addicted to pornography or watch pornography as there is men. I believe, this is my personal thing, I believe that's probably because now it's so easy to get. Back years ago, if you wanted something like that, you had to go to certain kinds of stores and rent that or buy that. Not today. You can see it almost everywhere if you want to. But he says this woman, she's morally good, the virtuous. It says, let's look at Proverbs chapter 12. See, I don't care how you are. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what your circumstances is. Women today, we have been fed lies by the world, even sometimes in our family, for a long time. And what we're seeing today is nothing more than the results of what happened in the 60s and the 70s. And then now today, these are our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. They don't even know who they are, some of them. That's hard for me to understand. But yet at the same time, I do, because we're all born into sin, number one, right? And we all have a certain propensity to certain different kinds of sin. So I can understand that in that way. That's why the Bible says we must be born again, because you ain't never going to know who you are, what you're supposed to do or have until you are. But here in Proverbs 4, this is Amplified. It says, "A virtuous and worthy wife, earnest and strong in character, is a crowning joy to her husband. But she who makes him ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." That's awful. Right? See, When you're a married, just say you're dating. I mean, you don't even have to be married, but he's talking about a wife here. So when you walk into a room or you go in somewhere and your wife and your kids are with you or just your wife, the way she presents herself and looks and dresses, talks and acts and everything either reflects good on that man or it reflects bad on that man. And no man wants to walk into a room and see that every man in the room has had her. Y'all know what I'm saying? I got to be careful the way I say certain things. No man in the room wants to walk in the room and other men there and his wife is very disrespectful. That is to a man, generally, most men, that is the worst thing you can do is disrespect him in front of people. He does not like that whatsoever. Right? Y'all real quiet. All y'all guys should be, yay, yay, amen. Don't y'all want help? And sad to say, I have actually done that. Probably, I can't count how many times. And a lot of it was, I didn't know, I didn't realize. Some things I did, some things I didn't. But God knows, right? He knows where each one of us are and what we need and where we're supposed to be going. Let's look at Proverbs 18. Verse 22, he who finds, notice what word he says, finds. If you find something, means you need to be looking for it, right? You ain't just going to stumble across it more than likely. He who finds a true wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now let's look at Proverbs 19, verse 14. House and riches are the inheritance from fathers. But a wise, understanding, and prudent wife is from the Lord. Verse 13, a self-confident and foolish son is the multiplied calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are like a continual dripping of water through a chink in the roof. And all the men said, amen. But notice that what it says, the contentions of a wife are like a continual dripping. Y'all ever tried to go to sleep and it's just drip, drip, drip? Are you trying to watch TV or something and it's just boom, boom, boom? That's so annoying, ain't it? Well, he says, I looked this up here. Let's see. I have to look at my definitions here. The word contentious in the Webster's Dictionary, it says contention, struggle, quarrel, debate, emulation, and quarrelsome. So ladies, we don't want to be that, right? And the Spirit of God, because he's got us on, he will help us. Now let's look at Proverbs 11. You know, all of these that I'm reading right now, they're in Proverbs. From what I looked up and studied, the majority of what tells women how to be, how to do, and stuff like that is in Proverbs. Now, there's more that talks about a wife, just like what we read in Ephesians. And you got to remember who wrote this. Y'all remember? Solomon, the wisest, the richest, and the most married man in the land. So he ought to know a little something, shouldn't he? What did I tell y'all, 11? Okay, let me get there. Verse 16, it says, a gracious and good woman wins honor for her husband. Now, this goes back to what I told you about when you walk into a room or not even, you know, you're around them. It says, and violent men win riches, but a woman who hates righteousness is a throne or of dishonor for him. But a gracious and a good woman brings him honor, gets honor for her husband. Look at Proverbs 9. You know, and you might think, well, I'm not a wife. I'm not even planning on getting married. And that's fine if that's the direction you're supposed to go. But you are a daughter, right? You got a father somewhere. So do you realize that even though, listen, men, period, whether it's your daughter or your wives, you are expected to act a certain way. How many knows daughters can bring disgrace and dishonor to their fathers? By the way that they act, right? Or by the way that they treat them. I mean, I was here one time and I was talking to somebody and their daddy come around the corner or whatever, and they said, "What are you doing here? Get out of here. We don't want to talk to you." And I'm sitting there, I can't say nothing. I'm just stunned. I'm like, "I can't believe you're talking like that." And all the father said was, "I know, I know." And I'm like, "She's still got her teeth? Are you kidding me?" You know, see, we can't talk. Just because you're not a married woman, don't think this don't apply to you. Because this starts how you treat your father and how you treat your mother, right? We can go up back over there to Ephesians, and it starts in chapter 6, which was actually put in there by men. It didn't start there. It was there with wives, then husbands, and Christ, and the church, and then it goes on down chapter 6, verse number 1, and it says children, right? Obey your parents. Because see, I've said before, wherever somebody has authority, responsibility, they have to have authority there. Caliban, we go. For an example, I have seen this, this ain't just y'all, I have seen this and seen this and seen this. These are not Monty's biological kids. Monty loves these kids and does with these kids just like they are, right? I've seen that. They're not Johnny's biological kids. Johnny loves these kids and does for these kids just like you would your own, right? What I have seen a lot of times, and a lot of women, they do this, they don't let that man have the authority that they would their biological parent. And this causes major problems. Because most of the time, even in a biological parenting situation, whether it's, and it's the same thing with a mother. A mother has to have the same thing as a biological mother. But what I have seen is a lot of times the wife, even with the biological kids, thinks the husband's a little too hard. She says, "Not Monty." Blake says, "Yeah, Monty." But anyway, I got to stay off all that. So just by their nature, why? Because usually the mothers are not geared that way. They're geared more the nurturers and different things like that, you know. So a lot of times they think fathers are a little bit too hard. So they might say something or they might not, since it's the biological kid. But then you take mothers, and especially with sons, that son feels like he's been the man of that house and he's 10. Because it's been him and his mama the whole time. Since he was born, or 5, or whatever the case might be. Well, then here she meets a guy. She's a young woman. She wants to be married again or whatever, you know. And they get married. How many knows that man has to be and have the same authority as a biological man? And anytime that woman don't, or she pitches a fit, or every time he tries to discipline them kids or anything like that, it's actually hurting those kids. And it's going to hurt that husband and wife relationship. And this happens a lot with women. And y'all are just way too quiet. Because see, a woman, she will want, this is general now, a woman will want that man, that husband to come in there that is not the biological father of those kids. She wants him to come in there. Don't she want him to help buy clothes? Yeah. Don't she want him to help put a roof over them kids' head? Yeah, sure she does. Don't she want help with raising these kids? Yeah, different things, right? But then don't want him to have no authority. That can't happen and be right. Reason being, wherever you have responsibility, you are supposed to have authority, and then you come under the protection of that family, whether it's not the biological mother or not the biological father. Do you understand? See, women, we can't just want them to help with that, all the raising and the taking care of and all of that and the providing and all of that kind of stuff, and then whenever they say, "You're grounded," or "You're not going out looking like that," or whatever that the case might be that they say, and we say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. You can't say, wait a minute." And see, if you're in that kind of situation, you better realize and do that before you ever marry that man or that woman. Because if you don't, they say those are more likely to get divorced than the ones that don't have kids. Why? Because here's another issue. Just like we went over that about how that whenever you get, before you get married, and say both of you are born again, that's good. That's what it should be. But you better figure out where are we going to church. Well, there's a place that we've got to go and a way that we've got to serve God. But then you've got two different beliefs, two different denominations or whatever you want to call it. They said that's the number one divorce for Christians. Well, then say that's okay, but then you got that the mother or whoever it is don't want the man to have authority there just to help provide. That would probably be your number two. Why? That cannot work. Those children have to have that authority. That husband, if he's going to be the king in that household, kings have all authority. What they say goes, right? Whether it's over kids, whether they're biological, whether it's over their wife, or different things like that. Because when you do that, if they have responsibility, it's because they have authority. You can't let them expect them to have responsibility without having authority. Doesn't Christ have responsibility over the church? Right? Didn't he say he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and tithe and give, and he would give, right? And all this stuff would be given back to us, good measure, shaken down, pressed together, running over. But then what if we say, well, I don't like what you said. I don't want to do that. Are you serious? He has responsibility, but he also has all the authority. And because he has all the responsibility and because he has all the authority, when we submit ourselves to that, just like we do to our husbands or we do to Christ in the church or whatever, you come under their protection. See, one of the things that happened to me whenever that happened, and I told you all about the story and I ain't got time to go back into that, was when I quit listening, when I didn't adapt myself to the vision, the direction that Scotty was saying this family was supposed to go, because I rebelled against that authority and didn't adapt to his vision, I came out from under his protection. Now I am wide open for the devil. Do I have authority? Yes, I do have authority over the devil. Personally. But see, it's kind of hard for me to rebuke the devil when I'm not submitting to the authority over me, right? The Bible says, I believe it's in the book of James, it says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Is it if I submit to my husband, ain't I submitting to God? When the children of Israel submitted to Moses, wasn't they submitting to God? When the people in the church submit to the pastor and the leadership, are they not submitting to God? When they rebel against that, are they not rebelling against God? Well, okay, I took myself out from under his protection. I have authority personally over the devil. But whenever you are yielding to the devil, you can't tell the devil to leave. The Bible says, submit yourself first, therefore, unto God, then resist the devil, and he's got to go. But see, because I'm not in the proper alignment that I should be, I'm wide open. And I become deceived, and I don't even know it. I think it's all him. Let's see here what our next one is. What was that? 11:16. All right, Proverbs 9, verse 13. It says, the foolish, notice who he's talking about, foolish. The foolish woman is noisy. She is simple and open to all forms of evil. She willfully and recklessly knows nothing whatever of eternal value. But notice what it says. Foolish women are noisy. Y'all remember me telling you guys want peace? Kind of like this for me as being a married woman, and I don't work. I mean, I have before, but I don't work and all of that. And the Bible calls me the homemaker and everything. I'm the one supposed to set the atmosphere at my house. My husband has been out working all day long. He deals with different people, with all different kinds of spirits, and seeing all different kinds of things, and hearing all different kinds of things. So when he comes home, what am I supposed to be? His peace. To where when he walks in that door, everything else can just go away. And he can just sit there in peace and do whatever it is that he chooses to do to kind of wind down and relax. Because like Scotty, he deals with problems all day long, 7 days a week. Not just work problems. See, he is the owner, so he has to deal with all of those problems. He's the head of that. So they don't come and fall on anybody else except him. So all day long, just about everybody that calls, it's a garage door problem. It's not a solution, it's a problem. So then he's got to seek God all day long how to fix these people problems. Well, because he's the pastor of the church, sometimes people from the church call him. And what is it? Not telling you have a good day. God bless you, sir. It's a problem. So then he has to seek the Lord and fix those problems. Then we got community problems. Because we have the giveaway, we have the food and the clothes and all this stuff, all month long, people are calling him. Why? They got food problems. They got clothes problems. So all day, they don't do that all day, but I mean all during the month at different times, people will do that. Then they got light bill problems and different, and we don't do that kind of stuff. You know, we have what we help with. So what my point to all that is, my husband is high-stress man. Y'all are quiet. Y'all not hear just everything I say? Not counting he comes home and deals with me. Watch it, Johnny. I'm kidding. I know. I told Scotty last night, I was working on my message and God showing me things. I mean, this is an ongoing process. This is never supposed to stop. We're all supposed to be growing in every area of our life, because there's not a one of us in this room or listening to me by Facebook or anything. You are at the full stature of Christ. Not a one. But I believe that's what God's doing, because however the church and Christ go, so goes the family. Why? He is the example, and I mean, they are tied. So what's he doing? Talking to us about the family, talking to us about the man, talking to us about the woman. Why? Because he's coming. And he's coming for a glorious church. So you know what that tells me? He's coming for a glorious family that looks just like the type and shadow, right, of Christ in the church. That's exactly what he's doing. So it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But my husband is a high-stress man. Now, he casts this stuff over on the Lord. He's learned how to do that. But how many knows, just because you cast stuff over on the Lord don't mean you don't have to do the work of solving problems. So whenever he comes home, the last thing he needs or wants from me is more stress. No man alive in their right mind would want that. I'm a woman. I don't want that. When I walk in the door, hey, baby, I've been waiting on you. Don't come in there and tell me everything I didn't do and all of this kind of stuff. Nobody wants that, especially men. So in order to be his peace, I've got to have peace inside, right? And if I'm not right, I'm not going to have no peace. I'm not going to have no joy. I don't care whatever area that's in. Any place that we're not following God like we're supposed to, we're not going to have peace in that area. Just like when we're making decisions and doing things, what's the Bible say? He says, you will be led forth with peace. When peace is not there, something's wrong. You are wrong somewhere. Because see, over there at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 that we've read several times already. Oh, God, I just lost my train of thought. What was I talking about? I can't remember now. Maybe we'll get to come back to it. My head's kind of messed up today, so y'all have to help me. Y'all remember what we was on? Was it 9:13? Yeah, we was talking about the foolish woman. Let's look at Proverbs 14. Verse 1, it says, every wise, now we just looked at the foolish, she's noisy, right? This is the wise woman. It says, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. That was me. Absolutely, that was me. See, when I was looking at this stuff last night, and I remember now, and the Lord was showing me things. See, when God shows you things, he does not condemn you. He does not make you feel like or think like, oh, God, I was such a dog, I'm such a worm and all this. No, God has the ability to, I mean, talk to you blunt and straight and show you you. He's the only one that really can. And you feel good about it. He is the only one that can do that. And I got through last night, and I come out of my room in there, and I told the Lord, I said, God, I have been something else. And I thought, and this poor man has had to endure me. Y'all not saying nothing. I know y'all don't want to agree because y'all think I'm going to flip and, you know, be like I was, you know, and throat punch you or something. Scotty don't like it when I say that. That's too aggressive, you know. We wouldn't want to be that or what. We're supposed to be soft and gentle. But anyway, so I come out of there and I told the Lord that. And I come in there. I was giving me a drink of water or something or other. And I went over to Scotty and I said, you know what I have realized? He's like, yeah, what's that? Because he never knows what's coming. He said, yeah, what's that? And I said, I have been something else. There's no wonder people didn't like me. And, of course, being the compassionate man that he is and feels sorry for me, he starts trying to help me. Well, it's not that you was. I said, don't even do it. Don't even say it. Don't help me none. God's helping me. Don't make excuses for me. I don't need excuses. I need to change. Anyway, and I told him, I said, no wonder people did not like me. And we're going to get to more scripture. I'll show you why they didn't. And I have come to realize it. And I told him, I said, and you poor man, you have had to endure me. He didn't say nothing on that. He just went back to doing what he's doing over there. But I'm telling you, it's amazing to me that you can be so wrong, think you're right, or halfway right anyway, or a little bit right or something, and be absolutely wrong. Do you realize that's what revelation is? It was there the whole time. People can be trying to tell you, but you honestly, you cannot see it. That's what deception is. And the number one thing that will lead to that is pride. The definition of pride, one of them, when you look it up, it says smoke in the eyes. Y'all ever burned leaves outside and got close to it and your eyes is burning, you can't see nothing? That's pride. It's just like smoke in your eyes, you cannot see it. But how many knows, if you are willing, God is faithful. He's absolutely faithful. But if you got to be willing, see, one of the reasons why I couldn't hear it, Scotty and other people tried to tell me, and I'm sure God tried to tell me before, I couldn't hear it because my heart was wrong. And I'm convinced something wrong with y'all. And didn't none of y'all say, ain't nothing wrong with me? Oh, there is. God just ain't got to it yet. Hang on. He will. But I mean, honestly, that you can be convinced, you people can tell you this or why do you do this or that, you know, and you don't know the root. So all you could say to me is, why do you act like that? Don't ask me that. How am I supposed to know? I don't know why I act like that. Why do you act like you act? You don't know. God knows the root of the problem and he knows exactly how to fix it. Amen. And I'm very thankful. My husband's thankful. My son is thankful. Now he comes to my house trying to be nosy. Where you been? Because he messes with me, you know. Come out here the other day. I think it may have been Friday or whatever. Come out there. Where you been? Don't ask me where I've been. I looked at him. I looked at Scotty. I recognized the crown on Scotty's head. I don't see one that pertains to me on Travis's. And I said, what's it your business? Why, I don't submit to every man. Now, I'm not talking about be rude to men. That ain't something you come out there and you ask the queen of Scotty. You ask the queen of Travis. Right? Right. Just because you're a male don't give you no authority over me. Just because you're a male don't give you authority over every woman. Right? Just as well as them ain't your kids, you don't have authority. Right? Unless, I mean, if you're babysitting or something. But I'm talking about everybody's kids. You don't have authority over everybody. And some people, they try to exercise it. God, we got to get on with this before I run out of time here. Y'all remember where we got to? 14:1? Let's read that again. That was a good one. It says, every wise woman. So women, we want to be wise, right? It says, she builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. See, I was tearing mine down, but I didn't even realize it. Proverbs 21. Verse 9, it is better to dwell in, this one is one of the ones that really got me. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop, talking about on the roof, on the flat oriental roof, exposed to all kinds of weather, than in a house shared with a nagging, quarrelsome, fault-finding woman. Just imagine that for just a second.
You got hail. You got thunder. You got lightning. You got rain. You got ice, sleet, snow, 105 degrees. He says it's better. You will enjoy it better going through all of that, guys, than you will with a nagging, quarrelsome, fault-finding woman. That is one that I'm like, good grief. If a man would rather endure all of that than be with a woman like I was acting, that's terrible. Let me read you some of the definitions of that. Let's see, what was the first one, what it was? Nagging. Let's see what nagging says. Nagging, it says in the Webster's Dictionary, is to bother by scolding or constant complaining, to find fault with something constantly. And I wrote, wow. You know why I wrote wow? That has my name all in it. Come on now. I said my name. I didn't say your name. Now, if you say your name, I know why you're quiet, and that's okay. But notice what that says. It says to bother, ladies, you're bothering your husbands by scolding. They're not your kids. Y'all not saying nothing. They're not your kids. My husband is not my kid. I don't care if he does everything like a kid. Do you understand, ladies, to a certain degree, we take care of our husbands just like their mothers did? Yeah, we wash their clothes. We wash their backs. We wash their hair. We cut their toenails, whatever the case might be, right? That's stuff your mama does for you. We pick their dirty clothes up out of the kitchen and don't gripe about it. That was one for me, I'm telling you. For years, I about want to take them pants and wrap them around his neck and just strangle him with. What nut takes their clothes off in the kitchen? Evidently mine. And what is it my job to do? I tell you right now, I got to act like your mama. He would tell me, for I don't need a mama. And I'm like, well, don't cause me to have to be your mama. I did not realize this. That's my job. If he leaves them clothes in the kitchen, it's my job to go get them. Do whatever, take the stuff out of the pockets, go put them in the washroom, and never even have a thought about it. It's your job, Sandy, to wash that toothpaste off of that mirror and never have a thought about it. God, y'all way too quiet. Now, I'm not talking, man, you got to be a slob. And nobody, no, ain't no woman want no slob. I mean, slobbering out your mouth, don't even brush your teeth and all this stuff. And I mean, you're just a wreck all the time. No, no woman wants that. You stinking. Sandy said, hey, I did not hear amen about the toothpaste now. I heard amen about the man stinking. And see, ladies, we help grow our men, but we don't in that way. I don't think we realize what we're doing to them when we are like that. No man is supposed to be scolded by his wife. That's a job for his God. Y'all not saying nothing. Now see, us, we can be as women. Why? Because they are our heads. God, I felt that one. That one really went down on my stuff there. Y'all stay hooked up. It's going to be good. It's really good. But it says that nagging means to bother a man by scolding him. So you don't get on him. You don't correct him. And don't ever do that in public. If you do that, don't do it in public. They really don't like that one. Scotty, nope, nope, nope. It says, or constant complaining. Scotty wouldn't even be home. And I would go to pick them clothes up out of that. And I know y'all have heard this before. I'd go to pick them clothes up out of that kitchen floor. And this is what I'd do. Not even aware. Paying no attention. I had an internal conversation going on the inside of me all the time. I go to pick up. I tell you right now, I'm about so sick of these dirty clothes and this stupid floor. There's nobody there, Johnny. Who am I talking to? Life and death is in the power of my tongue. A wise woman builds her house. A foolish woman is tearing it down with them clothes and my mouth. But it says she's constantly complaining. She's never satisfied with nothing. God, that one I could feel went real well. As y'all know, Scotty's working on my playhouse up there. Don't like much. Then we're going to party down. But anyway, he's working on my playhouse up there. He started out with the pool, and I have a vision of how this stuff is supposed to be. And he does the best he can, right? He loves me. He wants it to look good and does the best that he can. How many knows the best that he can is not absolute 100% perfection? So I have learned at those times that it is not absolute 100% perfection. Don't say nothing. Travis said something to me about something other up there that wasn't absolutely to perfection or whatever. And I said, yeah, used to I would have said something about that. I said, but I have come to realize that if he loves me and he's doing the best he can for me, is that going to help elevate him if I gripe and complain about it? Or is that going to help bring him down? Make him where he don't even want to do it, and I want him to continue on. Do you get what I'm telling you? So that constant complaining, you're just never satisfied with nothing they do. And listen, there's just something about us, we don't have to look for it because they're not 100% yet. You understand what I'm saying? They're not at their full potential just like you're not either. Yours just may be other things. So I don't need to just be running around complaining and finding fault about everything he does. Because how many, and it's the same way over there. All of this stuff is like a circle. Here at the church, if you want problems, you can find them. You don't got to have a magnifying glass. All you got to do, just look. You can see them. But you know what? It takes the Spirit of God on the inside of you and a desire of your heart to overlook them and not gripe about them and not complain about them and try to see the good in everything everybody does, whether you're at church or you're at home, in your marriage, with your kids. Ain't no kid wants you on them all the time. No. The Bible even talks about how you can frustrate them and break their spirits. All right. The next word's quarrelsome. The Webster's Dictionary says quarrelsome is quarrel. This was me. And unfriendly. Granny used to tell me that all the time. You're so unfriendly. And unfriendly or angry. Disagreeable. This was a big one for me. A cause for dispute. No man alive in his right mind wants that. I was so bad to the point, you tried to tell me something, and I can't hear it, won't hear it. I disagree with you about absolutely nearly everything. See, what we're supposed to do, husbands help grow their wives whenever they tell us, and what they're supposed to do is instill in us their same belief system. It's the same thing what they're supposed to do for their kids, right? We are supposed to be instilling in our kids our values, our morals, our belief system, and it all comes from the Bible, right? Yeah, husbands do the same thing. But he says they'll quarrel, they're unfriendly or angry, they're disagreeable. That was a big one. Scotty likes for me to agree with him. If I don't agree, just shut up. Oh, that was another one over real well. Won't like that. Don't tell us shut up. I say what I want to. That's your dogged determination, and you're tearing your house down. You'd be better off if you just shut up. Let him say what he wants to say and just shut up. And I didn't say you can't ever say anything or say anything about what. But do you understand you can come to the point to where you disagree and debate everything they say? And when you're like that, you're tearing your house down. Let's see here. We read, fault finding was the next one. The word fault finder in the Webster's Dictionary, it says, one who finds fault, a petty critic. We just all want one of them, don't we? Somebody just follows you around all day long, 24/7, just being a petty. Do you understand petty means nothing? It's nothing. You're nitpicking. Well, you got on brown socks with a green shirt. Who cares? Man can wear whatever socks he wants to. If you don't want him wearing that, go in there and put his clothes out. Right? Don't just keep dogging him about it. Don't just, in the long run, that means nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we can't be just petty critics about our husbands. And we can't be a fault finder because, like I said, if you look for it, you can find it. If anybody looks for it in you, they can find it. Why? Because we all got some.
We read contentious. It meant contention, struggle, quarrel, debate, emulation, quarrelsome. Let's look at Proverbs 25. I'm fixing to have to stop here. Verse 24. It is better to dwell, this is another one. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than to share a house with a disagreeing, quarrelsome, and scolding woman. Almost exactly the same thing that it said in 21:19, ain't it? This word disagreeable, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. This one was me too. Almost every one of these. It says offensive. Y'all get that? I was offensive to people. But I thought something wrong with you. You a candy and can't take nothing. That's what I thought. Quit laughing, Scotty. Seriously, when people, they get their feelings hurt or they get offended at me or blah, blah, blah. Now, you got to work on you because can't nobody offend you unless you let them. I don't care if they call you out your name and your mama too. That's a choice we all make. Christ can't be offended. Anyway, I was so disagreeable till I was offensive to people. And it's like when God showed me this, I'm like, God, I would not have wanted a piece of sandpaper rubbing on my arm all the time. That's what offensive means. You're rubbing people the wrong way. I'm rubbing people the wrong way. Don't nobody want to be friends with you. And it ain't that they're candies. It's just you are got sandpaper rubbing on them all the time, and people don't like that. So it says you are offensive or unpleasant. Disagree. It says to vary in opinion. The word disagree means to vary in opinion. My opinion is supposed to be the opinion of my husband. It says to differ. We're supposed to be the same, right? Same. We're going the same direction, serving the same God. Same belief system. It says to argue, to quarrel, to be unfavorable or unacceptable. Look at Proverbs 27:15 here, and we got to stop. Because I'm about over time here. 27 verse 15. It says, a continual dripping on a day of violent showers and a contentious woman are alike. And I wrote down here, can't nobody tell me nothing. Do you realize we have songs like that? One of the reasons why you shouldn't be listening to stuff like that. Because how many knows when you listen to stuff like that and you sing along, you don't even notice it, but it's getting on the inside of you. And then it'll make you, like that song, what is that, Little Noss or whatever? Got my horses in the back and goes on and says, can't nobody tell me nothing. Y'all not saying nothing. We don't want to be like that. If can't nobody tell you nothing, can't nobody correct you in any way or whatever, you have major problems going on. But the thing about it is, I believe God has got us on this because he wants to show it to us. Why? Because he wants us free. I am freer now probably in this area than I have ever been in my entire life. And I told Scotty, I said, it's kind of like that. If I'm wrong, I don't ever want to be right. But I ain't wrong according to Scripture. Y'all know what I'm saying? Why? This feels so good to me on the inside. Some of these things have been really hard for me to hear. I don't want to hear them. I don't want to believe them. But how many knows when God does it, if you'll yield, it'll bring peace. It'll bring freedom. And not only to me, to my husband, to y'all, I won't be like sandpaper on y'all. Right? Y'all don't like sandpaper either, do you? All right, we'll recess till 11. I've got to stop.